excuse me, pardon me. Hello there, welcome to the Blind Handyman. Show number, what number is this?
This is 205 today. In
205, Houston? Tom? Oh, Tom, I've lost Tom. There you are.
Hello, Tom.
There you are.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
There you are, Bob.
Yes, sirree, Tom. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I've done better. I went to the doctor today.
Uh-huh. Well, we're dying to hear about that.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. I know it's top news.
It is top news. What did he say? He said you were going to live?
Yeah, he said I'd live, but the heart, I'm in AFib all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah. And there's not a regular heartbeat there. He's got the beats per minute under control. And why he changed my medication, thinking that it's got a little property to it that might regulate the heart a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So he wants me to change my heart medication, and that I'm going to do.
Okay.
I think natural light will do that.
Well, I try a little bit of that from time to time.
I thought so. Yeah.
But he said if I drink any at all, it better be just a few.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, you need to change doctors, don't you?
Yeah, probably so.
Sam Houston, what do you think about the Astros house cleaning?
I don't know. Are they in last place yet?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Well, I knew Pittsburgh and the Astros were tied at the last place the other day, and then the Astros beat them, and I haven't seen it since then.
Don't you think Drayton McClain should have waited till the end of the year? Phil Garner wasn't a bad guy.
No.
You know, that was pretty crappy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I didn't even know that. You just told me some news.
Oh, he fired general manager and the manager.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yesterday, yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't know. I think he should have kept him till the end of the year.
I think so.
Kind of embarrassed him, didn't it?
Did what?
I said it pretty much embarrasses him, firing him right here in the middle of the season.
Well,
you would
think so, and they were in the World Series, which they had never been in before under this guy.
Yeah, the general manager, I think, should have gone, but I would have even waited on them to the end of the year, because no matter what they do, it's not going to help this season.
Yeah.
And what'd you say, if they won every game from now on, they might have a shot?
Well, not anymore.
I don't think so now. No.
I don't think
that's true.
Not even now. It was last week, maybe, but not now.
Not now.
Are we recording right now?
We're on the air, sir. We're rolling.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's after. What did you say? It's a good thing you didn't say anything bad about my mother or your aunt or anything. You knew. It's after 3. We're doing the handyman show.
We're rolling.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Good. Hi, everybody.
We just wanted to make sure you were all right.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna make it. I as far as the breathing is concerned, Phil.
Yeah.
I think I've whipped that. I mean, I'm breathing a lot better. And even when I got in his office today, he said you're not huffing and puffing. And I said, no, not like I was. And I still, you know, I have my little spells and stuff.
Yeah.
But the breathing part, as far as with no activity, which I was having before I went to the hospital,
yeah,
is over with. And I can do something now. I'm getting to where I'm standing a little bit, not as shaky.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they'll get this heart in rhythm where I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can get the show on the road again.
Well, I heard a rumor. I said this to one guy, and he laughed. On whether that wasn't very nice of him. Somebody said you were going to be here next week.
Well, I said that if everything went well, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything keeps going the way they're going, I will.
See? Pat,
yay!
Now, see there,
I know y'all just thrilled to death over that.
We had naysayers, but we think you can. We'll let you have 3 beers. That'll be about it. Okay,
no, just limit me to 3 12-ounce beers or 3 right. 16-ounce. That's better.
There you go.
All right, we're going to read some email, and I'll visit with you in a day or two, sir.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
I don't have 2 Telluses working, so I can't have you and your brother on at the same time. But
that's fine.
I think Gordon's going to be the guest.
Yeah, Gordon's going to be the guest today, and he's looking forward to it. He said, well, what are we going to talk about? I said, I don't know. Ask him when you call him. And he said, but what if I don't know anything about it? I said, just make up something.
Well, that's it.
He's never had any problems before.
I've never seen him have any problems talking before.
No.
Listen, When I get the next time I talk to you, I got a great story to tell you about eBay Don. Oh, I mean, Don
yeah.
Trump.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you in a minute,
okay,
sir. Thank
you.
Thank you much. That's our friend Thomas Hughes.
Yeah.
I think he is planning next week on being here. I bet he will be.
Next week.
I'm hoping so.
I'm going to try to secure a ride in from us. I'm not going to sit and wait on the side of the road.
Now what?
I said I'll try to make plans to have a ride from someone else in case his plans.
Well, I wouldn't count on him, but you know he'd say, "What if he shows?"
I'd love to have him.
You doesn't sound like you will be. Making fun of him, we don't like that. That's not good. All right, you really weren't. You're just making conversation, weren't you?
No, I was making fun of
him. Read some email.
All right, the bag runneth over.
All right, the bag runneth over.
Yeah, here's getting right.
You can hear it.
Right email's there. Out. It says,
yeah.
Right here, it says, my bathroom towel rack is anchored by ceramic brackets set in the tile of the wall. The plastic towel rod broke in half. Uh-huh. Do I have to get a towel person to remove a bracket to fix this? Or is there another way?
Whoa.
Now, I do have an answer.
Oh, you have a response.
I hope you do, because I don't have any idea.
We have a response.
All right.
Well, first, I would like to put in my 2 cents worth.
Okay.
If I were faced with this, depending on what the deal is, I would first call a tile person. There's got to be one in your house, and just ask them this. If there's an easy way to remove something, most of this bracket is probably going to be set on top of the tile, so you want it to come off without damaging that tile. There may be some kind of solvent or a way to do it. Yeah. If not, then you could disregard what I'm, you know, because the reason why I say that if you could remove this, then you could buy the whole towel rack, and they make glues, and I'm not going to mention liquid nail. I'm not going to say that, but they make all kind of glues.
What kind of glue? Why not
that glue ceramic? And so if you could that. However, the response is not bad.
All right.
It says, find 2 pieces of rigid plastic tubing. He means PVC, of course.
Yes.
Such as a water supply, one of which fits inside the other one, and both of which fit inside the brackets. And then it says that you put little glue on. You cut them to length that when they're expanded, they fit in there, and you put glue on the inside one, and then you expand them into the 2 brackets before the glue sets up.
Which is a great idea.
It's a great idea, except my wife would hate it. I mean, it's probably going to be ugly.
My wife wouldn't have it. There's got to be. I mean, that towel rack wasn't glued up there. As they didn't put that towel rack together and then glue it on the wall. There is a screw somewhere to remove the outside part of that bracket. Trust me.
Well, no, I agree with you, unless they set it in glue or caulking. Now, I've seen a lot of people do, like, soap dishes with just a good stiff tile caulking like. And another thing is, I don't know how, I actually saw 2 questions referring to the same thing. Both of them had broken towel racks in these things. If the towel rack was just snapped in half, why couldn't you find something to glue it back together?
Find something to glue it back together? Or if you had a piece of PVC pipe that would just a little larger than the towel rack, you could slip 1 piece in one and 1 in the other, and I could, you know, you'd have a towel rack back.
And I'm not so sure, you know, they make specific things like water pipe, but conduit, plastic conduit is similar. You glue it the same way, and I'm not sure that they do not make square conduit. So you might look into that.
But, you know, you look at those things, and you look, and then right on the bottom, you've seen this, there is a little tiny screw that if you undo it, it will come away from the bracket that's on it. Because the towel rack wasn't put together, and they just socked it up on the wall and glued it.
Yeah, but
there were brackets put up, and then the towel rack was attached to those brackets.
Not in ceramic. I think not.
You think they put the towel rack together and slapped it up on the wall, held it a minute, and glued it?
I think so.
Horse feathers.
Okay.
What, some guy standing there holding it? Don't move, Cliff.
No, they have glued it.
If you do, the towel rack will fall off. Come on.
No, they got stuff. It glues so instantly.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right. Sean went out to talk on the phone.
All right. He's calling his eBay contact.
That's like call waiting, Shaw. What are you, got an
drink
important,
time.
Got an important call?
Drink time.
Oh, is where you go? I thought your phone rang.
No.
No.
Are we ready for another?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Ready for another unless we haven't answered that one, but go ahead.
I think we've satisfied that person. Okay. They'll listen somewhere else.
Okay.
All right, there's one I bet you can answer. Phil, you and only you.
Whoa.
Oh, no, this is it.
What is he talking about?
All right, it says, we live in an area between two major broadcasting cities.
Yeah.
Our AM reception is terrible. Boy, have I been there. It says, our condo does not allow antennas. Does anyone know of any remedy?
Yeah, I know of a remedy. The remedy would be a select antenna.
Okay.
Yep.
Which would help him. But then we talked to this guy. Remember Jeff? Is it Jeff Eden?
Yeah, with the wire.
That built this big frame and built him some sort of a wired antenna that's supposed to work in apartments and supposed to be noise canceling.
Yep.
And supposed to be a very directional loop. I have no idea how to get to the website, but I think Jeff is on the handyman list. If he isn't, Dale Evans knows him real well and will know how to get a hold of him.
I think Jeff is on the list. So if you would ask for that antenna, I bet you he would send
the specs on how to build it.
For it.
Well, boy, I may, because, you know, I mean, a lot of times the ball game is on AM, which is what I use it for, not FM. And no matter where I've ever lived, I've never had decent reception. Now, the response to this was that, well, some radios have a wired antenna inside, rolled up, but it's directional.
I've seen that.
And or that some radios have a place you can attach a wire. But then your Radio Shack, your big round Radio Shack thing seems to serve you well.
That's not from Radio Shack.
Okay,
that's from a place called the Sea Crane Company.
Okay, did it cost a bundle?
It cost $60-something dollars.
Well, that's not bad. That would be, to me, the ultimate answer.
Yeah, that's a great antenna.
And it works really well with if you've got a decent radio and you put it up next to this select antenna and you move it around, you tune it in, you're going to get what you want. It's not going to make your AM reception perfect. But I'd like to try this big frame thing that Jeff Eden built.
Yeah.
It would be, maybe we could get him on sometime.
We had him on once. We could have him on again.
Yeah, it's time to have him back again.
Call him and let's have him back.
Is that allowed? Can we have him back twice?
We've done it many times.
We have Gordon Vick every other week, don't we?
For sure.
Having him back.
Okay.
We had who'd we have on twice in one, just right in a row? Walter Gramza.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we did.
Remember, Walter?
Yep.
Walter?
All right. Okay.
All right,
so here's another one. It says, how do I remove oil stains from concrete? Is it oil? It is oil drippings from a car.
Well, put some sand on it and brush it up, don't you?
Or some concrete sweep will work.
Yeah, if you see it. You know, when it's happened and still liquid, I've done that, potting soil. What the first thing I come to, that response I have talks about Tide and then getting a brush and scrubbing it. And also in the answer, the guy recommends that you go to an auto supply store and see what they have. But I would really rather send you to a paint store and tell them it's for concrete stains. And if you put the Tide, I have a product in a gallon. It comes in a gallon. Maybe $20 a gallon sounds kind of high, but it goes very far, and it's called ZEP, ZEP.
Really?
And it does oil stains. And when you put the sand on there, what you do is you're absorbing the oil, the liquid part, but it still may leave a stain when you sweep up. So the ZEP is what I use.
If you're totally blind, tell your wife to get over it.
Yeah, get over it. All right.
No? It's awful being a kept man, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't? Yes, you would. Hope you win the lottery. Anyway.
Me too. All okay, right. And so here it says...
you get any responses to that?
Well, yeah, that's the one I said. It says that you sprinkle Tide on the stains and scrub with a steel brush. Like I say, he says try an auto parts store, but actually a paint dealer could help you out with stain. All right, it says, I have a GE... Nautilus dishwasher that works great, except it is not pumping all the water out. It says nothing is locked, or nothing is nothing is blocked. If you take it out, put it in the yard, and run it, it drains perfectly. I'm stumped. Any ideas? Well, I was confused because I can't see yanking the dishwasher out and rewiring it out in the yard, so I went to GE Nautilus dishwashers, and they make a portable one that you roll around. So this I could see. You roll it out on the back porch and plug it in.
Maybe that's what he had.
I'm certain of it.
Well, you know, if you remember one time I lived in a little house, and my wife cut the washer drain off where it was even with the floor, and the washer wouldn't hold water then.
Wow.
It won't hold water because what it does is, you know, that water would just drain out of it. I mean, it wouldn't hold water.
This must be your first one.
This absolutely was my first wife, and you were there when this happened. You were around when this happened.
I probably encouraged her.
You probably did, knowing you. But and the washer wouldn't hold water because it needs that pump. So I don't know. You might, of course, he's got the opposite problem, doesn't he? Forget it.
No, it needs the loop. In other words, the drain needs to go up like your washer drain does. However, with this being what I would assume is a portable unit, it's designed to drain into the kitchen sink or thereabouts, and so that drain would almost have to go up. But if it's working outside and not...
It wouldn't know if it was inside or outside. It wouldn't care.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what he's draining it in. If he's doing it, like you said, if he's laying the drain hose on the ground, he may just be pumping the water directly through it.
That's exactly right. But what I would do is load it and then roll it out on the patio, let it wash, and then bring it back in.
Yep.
That
would be the easy solution.
You guys care.
Well, why not, you know?
All right. Do we have time for one
more? Unfortunately, we have time for one more. Go ahead. We don't mind.
Well, here's one that I'm certain we won't know the answer to.
Okay, that's what we need.
That's right. And this is real simple. I like them to keep it straightforward and simple.
Yeah, all right. Till Tom gets back.
How easy is it to replace an attic roof fan?
Very easy. Very easy. They got you an attic roof fan. What if he means a ridge fan or what? What does he mean?
Well, just one cut through the roof in the attic.
One of those, a turbo, like? What they call them?
I think he's talking about a fan that operates on a thermostat.
All right. Well, they're going to be coming in two pieces. I mean, just take the middle part out and put a new one in. But make sure you give the right brand so the screw holes will line up.
Yeah.
Well, according to the answer that we got, it says that you're going to have to get up there and take that. Nobody seems to think that anything's going to match up. That you're going to have to take the shingles off. And
I wouldn't take the jack off that the fan's in.
The roof
I wouldn't take the roof jack loose. I wouldn't do that. I just take the because it come. It didn't come all together. It came in two pieces: the roof jack and then the fan that fits in the roof jack.
I would think so.
So if he finds the exact match.
You need to be home free.
Yeah, besides that, what's wrong? Why don't you just replace the motor?
I doubt maybe sometime the motor and the fan are not interchangeable.
Okay.
All
right. Well, once again, we've disseminated some useful information.
I'm glad he's not a regular listener.
He probably is. Probably listens every day, every time. All right, well, Gordon Vick, Tom's brother, is going to talk about, we're going to talk about pest control and why you should have that, and fire extinguishers, why you should have them, and we're going to talk about also ductless air conditioners. Donald, right?
That is correct. I had a question for him.
So we'll do
that.
Gordon Vick in just a minute. Don Patterson, Don Shaw in the building. I'm Phil Parn. This is the Blind Handyman, a special edition. Wait a minute. Hang on. I got you. This is a special edition of the Blind Handyman. here we are, all gathered around here at the Blind Handyman Studio. And along with the two Dons, I'm Phil Parr. And on the telephone is Gordon Vick. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and I hope y'all are.
Well, it sounds like you have a little cold.
I have a terrible cold, but it's getting better, finally.
Well, man, summer colds are hard to handle, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Boy, all the pollens, and of course I have allergies too, so that, yeah, you know, just compounds.
Yeah. We just got off the phone with your, as I referred to him, your sickly brother.
Yeah.
who's doing better. He said he went to the doctor today and said he's breathing. Yeah, he's got his breathing under control. And like I said, when you can't breathe, nothing else matters.
Right. That's it.
That's pretty much it. And
I think a lot of his problem, Phil, is just being able to motivate.
Yeah.
You know, he's lost a lot of his strength. Plus, he gained all that weight.
Yeah.
A lot of it due to fluids, of course.
Yeah.
And but I think he's slowly coming back.
I believe he's going to make a comeback. And,
well, I sure hope he does.
We're all ready to see him. He said, I think next week is going to be, if at all possible, he's going to be here next week.
Well, if he can do it, he'll be there.
Hope so. Hope that all works out.
Yeah, me and you both.
We want to talk about several little things. Don's got some questions he wants to ask you about ductless air conditioners.
Okay.
But you're still running your pest control company.
No, I'm not. I'm officially retired.
Ah, very good.
You mean, no, you don't?
I retired, turned the pest control, you know, over to my daughter.
And you don't work anymore at all?
I don't work at all. No, all
what
I do
deal.
Is try to put up with my wife.
You're 24/7,
and that's rough.
You're just kind of home with Angie all day now?
Pretty much, yeah. Unless I can escape.
What does she think of that?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of a reverse role. You know, now that I'm at home, she's taking off. So.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's gone most of the time. So, you know, it's going to work out.
What it is.
Well, retirement did not decrease your knowledge of pest control, though, did it? You still know.
I still hold a state license and all that stuff.
Yeah, and pest control is a necessary thing. How often, once a year, you think you ought to have the guy come out and do his thing or what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's essential. Of course, if we're talking about termites, and termites can invade the home at any time of the year, they're active year-round.
Yeah.
Especially your subterranean. Of course, I think y'all have drywood termites there.
I didn't know there was such a thing as drywood termites.
Well, Formosan or the drywood termites, you know, you need to kind of keep your eyes and ears open for them because they can cause you a lot of structural damage.
If you got wood, you stand the possibility of having them, don't you?
You certainly got it. That's a fact.
Yeah.
And, if you have wood, you're going to have them. It's that simple.
It's that simple.
Right.
So who do you call? Do you call one of the national people, or do you call just a local guy? Or?
Yeah, I recommend a good local guy. I'm not against the national people at all, but they have a tendency to be more concerned about, you know, their neighbor, and they'll come in, give you a good thorough inspection, and recommend whatever you need, and you may not need anything.
Yeah.
So, Gordon, how's it going anyway? This is
hello.
Don.
Are both Dons there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hello to both of me.
Yeah, we got both Dons today.
How long would you say, like, if in our case we had new construction, we built our house this coming February, we will be in it 4 years. And they treated it like when they did the slab and all that.
Did you say 4 years?
Yeah, this coming February.
Uh-huh.
So how long, I mean, is time to get them back?
Oh, yeah, I would have had them back the first year.
So even though they treat under the slab and all that, you need to do it every year?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think that's what I do every year, and I don't know if I use a guy named Airline Exterminator, and I guess he's a local guy. He calls me in the spring and says, "Hey, Phil, you know, I want your money, and I'd like to come and spray your house."
Yeah,
you know, that inspection is worth its weight in gold. It's like Don there, his house. He talks like it's on a slab.
Yes.
You know, to a termite man, a slab is his worst enemy anyway. So what he does, he knows exactly where to look to find those little critters where they'd be active.
Yeah.
Whereas you, the normal layperson, would just walk right over them.
Yeah.
And a slab retains a lot of moisture. And, of course, subterranean termites require a lot of moisture. So it really creates a good breeding ground for them.
I think I told you this story. A friend of mine and I were moving the control room one time, and we decided we got a little jackhammer, and we were going to put a piece of PVC pipe in the floor to run the wires, and we got too far and got down into the dirt under the floor, and my God, they swarmed on us. I mean, couldn't believe. I mean, just, you know.
Without a doubt, they live under those slabs, and they love it.
The disc jockey called me the next day and said, "Phil, I don't mean to alarm you, but there's things with little wings flying all over the control room." And I said, what's abnormal about that, son? No,
did you ask him what he was drinking?
Oh, no, I'm sure he was drinking something. He was a disc jockey, wasn't he?
Well, you know, when you pour a slab, typically there's grade stakes.
Yeah.
And those grade stakes just barely bump below the surface, and they skim over it with the concrete. Well, you know, everywhere you've got a grade stake is potential. You know, it's an entry for your termite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a place they could come in your slab, wouldn't it?
That's right. Also, where your plumbing or any electrical may penetrate the slab or crack. I don't know anybody can pour a slab that doesn't crack. They're going to crack. I don't care who pours it.
We have a very good crack in our garage.
That's a good point of entry for them. So a good inspection is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, of course, you assume that people live in condos, they do that for you. If you're not a homeowner, you don't have to worry about that. But if you are, you need to get the guy out there. Also, let's talk a minute about fire extinguisher prevention. You sold those for many, many years, didn't you?
Yes, I sure did, yeah.
What do you need to do? Go to the grocery store and buy a couple or what?
Well, go to Lowe's or Home Depot, keep one sitting around the house. Typically a multi-purpose, that would be an ABC fire extinguisher. And I recommend you locate them near exits.
Gordon, what elaborate a little bit on the A, B, and C.
Types of fires.
Okay. That's the type of fire where there's gas, grease, oils, electrical, or paints, or whatever, cloth. The A, B, C is what we call a multi-purpose. It covers all the above. You can get just strictly a B, C. And, of course, you know water's just primarily like a water pressure extinguisher. It's an A-class.
Right.
And so, you know, the ABC is typically what you keep in the home, and it would, you know, address any fire you might have.
Because my wife is a car enthusiast. She has an off-road Land Rover that we just got back from Colorado, and one of their requirements, you must have a BC fire extinguisher, at least. So I guess that would be for gasoline.
Gas, grease, oils, electrical, and so on. And it's excellent for an automobile.
Okay.
It's also recommended for a boat.
Yeah, and then we're talking, I mean, what, it was $7 at Walmart or $8?
Oh, they're not expensive at all. I mean, they're very inexpensive. And if you use it, they're very cheap to have them refilled even. I guess I've refilled every one that's ever been made.
Every kind that's ever been made?
Yeah. I've filled everything from halon to your dry chemical, your old soda acids, you know, your water pressures. You know, I've done CO2. It doesn't cost you a lot to have them filled. Just take them to your local fire extinguishing company they will take it in and fill it, usually while you wait sometimes.
Well, of course, they're cheap enough when they're out of date. You just chunk it and get another one.
You can do that.
As cheap as they are. I think there's two in my house. I don't think there's one out here now. I think it ran out and I chunked it.
Well, you know, it was an interesting thing that the guy, our guide on our little trail ride, told us. He said, you know, and this may not apply to your kitchen one because obviously you would be trying to salvage whatever was there. But he said, you know, I want to make it clear that this fire extinguisher that's in your car that I require you to have is not for you. It's not, he said, because if your car's on fire, we're hopeful that you're out. He said, but this is to help somebody else, you know, on the trail. And so I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to look at it. But on the other hand, if you had a fire in your vehicle, you'd probably grab it up and use it.
I certainly would be trying as I pulled the rip cord and bailed out.
Yeah, you'd be using it while I was on the side of the road because my car's on fire. I'm getting out.
Well, yeah, you should get out. But, I mean, you take your fire extinguisher with you and apply it. Typically, car fires start under the dash or under the hood. and you know, usually keep it with you so you can get it and, you know, and try to help extinguish it.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you need one, nothing else will work.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a thing to have if you needed it.
You better believe
it. Yeah, it's like breathing. You can't breathe. Nothing else makes any difference. All right, fire extinguishers. And now, Don, you want to talk about what? You want you this?
Well, I know you are, have done a little bit of it all. We've had you on as a guest several times, and I've always valued your input and opinions. Uh-huh. And I want to know, I'm thinking about building a little room inside of an existing garage, just putting a partition, 9-foot ceiling, but the finished product would be in the walls right now, even are all insulated and all sheetrock. I would just have to put my partition, splitting a 20-foot garage, or 20, it's actually 24-foot wide.
An existing room.
I would have a room of about 12 by 24.
I see.
If I have become really interested in ductless air conditioning, like a little ton and a half, and I'd like to know, like Mitsubishi makes one. Basically, what do you know about them, and what do you think of them?
Oh, they're wonderful. They're excellent. You just simply take everything out of a wall unit except for a coolant coil and a blower, and you put it on the outside, and then you don't have to hear it run all the time.
And so the little part that is mounted either on your wall, it says, or on the ceiling, they can do it, is really like, kind of looks like the air conditioner, the old window, but it's not, it's thick or deep, right? I mean, it just...
Right, it's not. Well, it's because it doesn't have your compressor and your, what do you call the outside coil, evaporator coil?
Yeah.
All right, and then you don't have all of that in the box. It's all outside sitting on the ground. The only thing you have to run to is electrical and, of course, your freon line.
Right. And see, and I have all of that there, and they said that all you needed was like a little 3-inch hole in the wall. And there you have you ever installed one? I mean,
never installed one, but I'm familiar with them. The only thing I see wrong with them is they're too dad burn expensive.
Well, you know, I looked online, of course, and that doesn't mean you could get it here where we live, but it said like a ton and a half would might be 700 plus, and I didn't think that was too prohibitive.
Oh, that's for the cost of the unit?
Yeah.
I'm talking about installation.
Yeah, okay, getting somebody to do it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you
that's something you would want to do. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't do it. I don't know. Are the freon lines, are they precharged? Or,
well, see,
I don't know anything about that.
I didn't get into that, and I don't know. The way they talked, I mean, you're right. That might be for the unit. And I know, you know, I have brazed copper pipe before, but never freon, and I wouldn't even attempt it. So.
But they probably aren't brazed, don't you imagine? They have some sort of. They wouldn't have a screw fitting, would they?
I really don't know on that particular unit. Usually they braze them on central heat and air. But what I'm thinking on a central heat and air unit, they typically open a valve and it releases the gas into the system after you've connected the line.
Yep.
Right.
I'm not sure if this unit, it could be done the same way because it's basically the same thing as a split central heat and air unit. So.
Yeah, that's what they call them, a split unit.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does this include heating?
Not to my knowledge.
So
but
then...
That's next.
Okay, that's next.
Yeah, that'll come next because, you know, it's a simple process to make that into a heat pump or just putting a reversing valve.
Well, but with the room you got, you could buy a small electric heater down and heat it if it's insulated pretty well without any problem.
You know, I could, but also the reason why I was bringing this up is because my attic is easily accessible. Why wouldn't I just want to do a 1.5-ton... little unit like I have upstairs in the playroom, which is heating and cooling, since I can get to my attic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because actually, to do the freon lines, you'd need a smaller hole than a 3-inch. And so I was just wondering if there were any advantages.
Well, in your case, you can get to that attic, so why not put the fan up there and just the plenum just faces down into your case? You just want to cool that one room's all you want to cool.
Right.
Right.
So you just run a duct off the coil, and it comes down into your... into your room, and that would ton and a half. My God, a ton and a half unit will freeze you out of there, boy.
I might want to go three-quarter ton, but I don't know if you can get a little central unit that small.
Yeah, I don't know. And you don't want to go too much because what you do is you create a humidity problem.
Right.
So you with air especially. So you really don't want to go too much.
I figure one ton. Could you buy a little one ton like that, probably?
With a little outside compressor and a coil and fan inside?
You probably could. You may have special orders.
Yeah, surely there's some guy that has his office just like a little used car lot office.
Yeah.
You'd cool with
one
of those.
They make a wall heat pump. You know, it's similar to what you use at a motel.
Yeah, but it's going to be noisy.
It's going to be noisy. Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And when you do a lot of noise around a blind person, then you've taken away his means of getting around or, you know, hearing what's going on.
Right.
Yeah,
the unit he's talking about, Phil,
yeah,
is very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a good sound.
The little the split pump we're talking about, I mean the
little split system?
Yeah.
Yes, the little split system is very quiet. You would be happy with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, for $600, and then surely for $150, you'd get somebody to come out and install it.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be that major to do.
Yeah.
Two freon lines and a little electrical work.
Yeah, air conditioner people could probably do it quickly.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they could. What is the weather like for you all?
Hot. Very hot.
I tell you, it's been
hot.
Just so bad around here, I don't even want to go outside.
Yeah.
It's been about that here. It's kind of cooled off in the last couple of days, but...
Yeah,
my wife and I, 2 weeks ago, went to Colorado, and everybody talked about, oh, it'll be cool in the mornings when you get up there.
Yeah, but it's hot in the afternoon.
It kind of was, but it got to 103 in the daytime. So yeah. Then we came back home, and all of our rain that we've had since January has left us. And so we're cruising at 96 or 7 down here.
Yeah. Well, we're having a cool front here. It's just in the 90s.
Yeah.
Just in the 90s.
Just in the 90s, right. I don't know. Are you familiar with where I live, any of y'all? Port Oglethorpe, Georgia. Do you know where that is?
No, not really.
North, close to northeast Alabama, right?
Northeast, yeah.
And like Chattanooga, Tennessee, maybe? I mean,
right, we border Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I know where you are.
Okay. I live right next to the Chickamauga battlefield, but I live on what used to be the 6th Cavalry post.
Wow.
You know, I live on a circle, and inside the circle used to be a polo field, and it was where the officers looked at all their soldiers play polo.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm in what is called, I live in the officers' quarters.
Wow.
And the, you know, there's only 13 of these old houses left. And, of course, my house was built between 1901 and 1905.
Really?
So it's well over 100 years old. But recently, or not recently, it's been a year or so ago, I took one of my bathrooms. Have we got time to talk about this?
Yes, sir, we got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Okay. I took one of my bathrooms. You know, this house was plumbed after it was built.
Because there wasn't any inside plumbing when it was built. They didn't do
correct.
That.
That's right.
Okay, so it was retro plumbed.
Right. So all of your plumbing, and everybody knows what rough end of plumbing is.
Yeah.
Came through the floor. Didn't come out of the walls like we do today.
It came right up through the floor.
Came right up through the floor.
The pipes are all, your house is on piers and beams or cedar posts or what?
Oh no, I have a full basement.
Oh, okay. So the pipes were run there.
Right. So it came right through the floor. So what I did is I said, my wife wanted a shower. We had a tub in there. So she wanted a shower put in there. And I said, well, we just might as well renovate the whole bathroom. And then she comes back and she wants a little stack of a washer and dryer put in there. So, anyway, I gutted the bathroom. And I opened the walls and I moved all the plumbing into the walls. And, of course, it was galvanized water lines. And it was, metal drain pipes.
Yeah.
Of course, I cut all that out and threw it away, and I went back with PVC and copper and put it all in the walls.
Yeah.
And then I went back in my bathroom with subway tile. Remember the old black and white subway tiles you used to see in the subways?
Heard of it.
Okay, it's 3x6 tiles, ceramic tiles.
That's neat.
3-foot by 6-foot pieces of ceramic tile?
No,
inches.
3 inches.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh.
Subway tile.
That took a while.
Well, yeah, it did, because I went about 54 inches up on the wall all the way around the entire bathroom.
My.
Wow.
Then I built a shower pan. It was, just buy a vinyl mat and make your own shower pan. Have any of y'all ever done that?
No, why would you want to do that?
I should have done that. I'll tell you about that later.
Why didn't you buy one? There couldn't be too much.
Because by making your own, you can customize it to whatever shape,
make
size,
the shape you
anything
want.
Anything you want.
Exactly.
That's why you do it.
So you bought a flat piece of vinyl and brought the edges up and fixed them together and...
Yeah, but Phil, I want you to tell you something. It's one of the easiest things you've ever done in your life.
All right.
And then you tie all over it, right?
Yeah. Well, what I use was Dura-Rock, which is a sheet of concrete. You know,
right.
It comes in a sheet of concrete. It's a little sheet of concrete, about a half inch thick.
And then you tile over it.
And then you tile over
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah. And I went through and did all the walls and floors and, of course, the shower, and I tiled the shower all the way to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And, and you're talking about fun, but I had more fun than you could imagine.
I just imagine you did.
And I had my brother, who is, he's Houston's brother. Depends on what day of the week it is. Houston's brother helping me, or Tom.
You're talking about Rufus Jr.?
Yeah.
All right.
And I had him helping me.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, I tell you, we worked a long time on that, but it turned out real good. We were very happy. But anytime you need a shower pan, build your own. I mean, it's just so much. You know, you can make it any size, shape you want it.
I'm hoping I'll never need another one.
Yeah.
We're fixing to tackle the kitchen. We're fixing to turn our garage into a kitchen. And we had the first discussion about it this morning, and I've already decided that I will have no input, period.
Really?
Yeah. We've already gotten in our first little brouhaha over the kitchen, so I think the best thing to do I really care what the kitchen looks like? No. I'm just going to let her do it.
Hey, Gordon.
Yes, sir.
Don and I are going to watch this, though, and see how much input.
Yeah,
we're going to see if he can restrain himself.
Well, you know, Phil's kind of a take-charge kind of guy.
Yeah, and I can't see.
It's going to be difficult for him to restrain himself.
I think
you know, I'm married to a take-charge kind of woman.
Yeah.
I'm going to let her take charge. She's going to be in charge of this. Before we go, let's talk real quick about fluorescent lighting.
Okay.
And, of course, they're making now new fluorescent bulbs that you just take the old one out and you put a new bulb in. It looks just like the old one, except it's a fluorescent bulb and it's a 20-watt bulb as opposed to a 70-watt bulb.
They're wonderful, yeah.
Have you seen them?
They're all in my house.
It takes them a while to come on, though. When are they going to solve that problem?
Well, you say it takes them a while to come on. It's,
well, they come on, but to get up to...
It has a little delayed... But
yeah, I mean, they come on instantly, but to their maximum power. I'm going all fluorescent in my house, and I'm almost there, but I've noticed, you know, I've got some floodlights, fluorescent floods in certain areas. The little curlicues come on pretty instantly, but the bulbs and the other ones come on, it is a little delay.
Uh-huh.
Why is that? Gordon?
I don't know. I don't realize the delay on mine to amount to anything. It's never been a problem for me.
Are you using the little curly ones?
I've got the curly ones, and I've got the ones that are actually shaped like a light bulb.
Yeah, I've got the ones that are shaped like a light bulb, and they
pause a little bit more, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
The curly ones come on almost instantly, yeah.
You know, they make two types of fluorescent bulbs now. They got one that's and Phil, you're aware of this, I know, it's electronic ballast.
Yeah.
As opposed to the old style.
Yeah, we did some of that while you were down here, remember?
Yeah, that is instant on and instant off.
Yeah.
You know, and that the temperature doesn't seem to have such an effect on. That was really progress in the fluorescent lighting. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you did my kitchen while you were here, remember?
Did I?
Yeah, you changed it. That's the first one you'd ever done, and you were going, well, I don't know if this will work or not. And sure enough, that's the first one you'd ever done.
Was it? Okay.
You don't remember that? Well, you get old, you know, and you just...
Yeah, my clutch is slipping pretty bad.
Well, you know...
And when you changed that, but you were dubious of it. I had the electronic ballast, and we had the old ballast in there, and you said, well, I don't know if this... I've never done this before, and I don't know if it'll work. Sure enough, they're smaller bulbs.
They're smaller bulbs.
And they're brighter, and it just lit up the world.
Yeah, now that, to me, was real progress.
Well, have you seen, we were talking about the two types, the curly ones and then the regular light bulb ones, but then they also make, and I see these in a lot of recessed filters, recessed outlets, a little... light bulb that vertically it would be two tubes side by side.
I've seen those.
And I don't know that if you have to have an adapter to make them fit in a regular light outlet. The reason why I'm curious about this is because on our trip to Colorado, Emily, she decided we were going to stay in all Best Westerns.
Uh-huh.
And two out of the three Best Westerns were all fluorescent. There were fluorescent bulbs everywhere. And so I examined them, started to bring a couple home with me, but
I didn't. You're talking about the one that there are two glass tubes parallel to one another.
You're right. So, yeah, and usually the ones I saw the most of were in recessed lighting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, though, if
that's a regular...
If you have a special fixture.
I'm thinking, yeah, because they also, it was very chrome, very silver for the reflection.
I got you.
You know, and I don't think I put in those kind of recessed lighting fixtures when I did mine.
Okay, well, the reason for changing or going to the, even if you just have, buy the regular size fluorescent bulbs, they're $6, $7 a piece. And you can buy three for a dollar the other bulbs, but these run at a much lower temperature, and they use a lot less electricity. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct.
So that's the reason for doing that. If a guy did it all, I think we counted 80 light bulbs in our house, Don, your house, my
house. Give or take. Yeah,
and if you replaced them all, and they all ran at even a third of what the other ones run for, Mike, you'd save a couple hundred dollars a month on your electric bill.
Well, what you do is... I think a 13 water is equivalent to almost a 60 watt light bulb.
That's right.
Yeah,
I think it's what it is, and yes, and the longevity of them are unbelievable.
Four times, 4 to 1, give or take.
That's at least.
At least.
Yeah.
And Phil was talking about these round the light bulb looking ones, the 23 or 5 waters that replace the 100 watt light bulb. They're about 2 for $9 at Lowe's here.
Yeah, that's not bad.
But the little curly cues that come on instantly, at Sam's, you can buy 8 for $12, which makes them...
I don't think they'd fit up in my fixture, though.
Oh, yeah, they will. And they are about... That's about $1.50 a piece, so which is not... I bought two packages of them.
And I'm interested in getting my electric bill down. At least I read an article one time that said you can buy light bulbs for $5 for two, or you can buy the little GE 60 watts that you can buy four for a dollar, and all of them, no matter what you buy of conventional light bulb, will run 1,000 hours. Is that correct?
That I couldn't tell you.
Well, that's what I read.
That the first time you turned them on, they pop.
Yeah,
I've seen that too.
Yeah.
So those cheap ones, I've seen that too.
Yeah.
But
1,000 hours,
and these supposed to run. These are supposed to run about 5,000 hours.
8,000.
These fluorescents, and so they run for less. You buy less bulbs. I mean, it's just it's just all around good deal.
My old house here, there's a lot of lights in it. I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
And me and my wife made the decision a year or so ago to go with all these fluorescent bulbs because we were having to buy so many to keep them all going. And with these fluorescent bulbs, we don't have any problems.
And where'd you buy them? Do you go to Walmart and buy them or what?
Well, typically we've been catching them on sale at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah.
They're very close to us. And we go out there and they run specials on them. And they're very reasonable.
Even though we are talking to a primarily blind audience, you find that you, or I find, this may not be the case in everybody, I'm still responsible for the light. Phil, could you change the light bulb in my closet? Well, I've never used it and never turned it on. Why is that my responsibility? Because I'm a man.
Because you're a kept
man. You're the man of the house.
No, but you're right.
I'm a kept man.
That's right.
And you will get your butt up there and change that light.
Yeah. You know,
if she tells me to, I will. You got that right, huh?
Yeah. Y'all, I tell you, you never cease to amaze me when I'm out there with you all. When I watch you motivate Phil, I swear, I just can't believe it. I'm thinking, here's a guy that can't see anything, and he just functions like he sees where he's going.
But I'm in my world. You got to remember that. I
don't understand that. Houston has talked to me, or Tom. I'll call him Tom, I think.
Yeah.
He's talked to me at length about that.
I'm in my created world that I created for myself, and I moved everything where I wanted it so naturally. But if you put me at the Astrodome, I'm as lost as, or in a place I don't know, I can get pretty lost. I'm a big believer in having someone that can see with me.
I understand that.
But in my world, I do all right, and I do my best to stay in it,
I respect that, too.
Remain in the... Go ahead.
What do you know about my brother's health condition? Sometimes he don't stay with me.
I tell you what he did, and he's now admitting that. Yeah. He waited much too long to do anything, and I'm sure you were on him every day, and I was on him every other day. If you can't breathe, you need to go do something.
Right.
Well, I'm going to. You're going to the doctor today? I'm going tomorrow. This went on for at least 2 months, him laying there. About to die. He couldn't breathe, couldn't put his clothes on, couldn't do anything. And finally, I guess he finally went, and they about got him straightened out.
Well, he was telling me he was getting better.
Yeah, he is.
Well, he says
he's talking about before he ever went to the doctor.
No, he wasn't getting better. He's getting worse.
Yeah,
he was conning me.
He'll kind of tell you a story.
No, I believe it's called a lie.
Well, yeah, we like to give him the benefit of the doubt. But he said today that his breathing was stabilized. He's a little bit erratic heart, but they're working on that. But actually, he sounded pretty good.
He's wanting a pacemaker like you've got. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
And they might as well, if that's what he wants, might as well give it to him tomorrow, because he's going to bitch and moan till he gets it.
Well, I understand his heart's very erratic.
It is.
They said he was in defib. Isn't that what he said? Is that the term?
Yeah, I think so.
All the time.
But you were all the time till they put the pacemaker in, weren't you?
I was what now?
You had the same defib problem.
Well, my heart would just go real fast and then stop.
Not good.
I don't think his stops. I think it just goes real fast and won't come out, won't quit.
I'd lay down to go to sleep, and that's when mine would stop. And then I would jump up gasping for air, and it'd start back up.
Yeah.
That would be the time to jump up,
that
Gordon.
You're watching the time?
A pacemaker.
Maybe.
So you've got a pacemaker, right?
Yeah, it's regulated 60 beats a minute. But I do not have a defibrillator in my pacemaker.
But they do make just a defibrillator that goes. I talked to a lady the other day that had one, and she said, "Boy, when it goes off."
Yeah, let me tell you, that's something you don't want.
Yeah.
I tell you, because those things, they tell me they hurt you bad.
Yeah, see,
or make you hurt yourself.
It was just like a cannon kicking her, just like something kicking her in the chest.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's a tragic thing because.
Yeah.
But Houston is living under a little stress right now, I think.
Well, he is, and I've talked to him about that. He's unwilling to do anything about that, and so you don't even bother mentioning it to him. He won't change that. I can't make him,
Well, I've talked to him about that also, Phil.
And he won't do it.
Yeah.
He's got to, and he wasn't even raised a Baptist. I don't know why he has all that damn guilt in him.
That takes care
of the Baptist audience.
He's a good
audience.
Man. He loves his children and his grandchildren. And
you hit it right on the head. He's a good man, and he loves.
About anything for him, but I think sometimes, there's a little advantage taking going on.
Well, I pointed out the other day, if they kill Papa, they haven't accomplished a damn thing now, have they? And he said, "Well, you're right there, Phil." Yeah.
you're right about that.
All right, Brother Vic, we're going to go and let you go. And when are you coming back down? You going to run down this cold?
Well, I'm going to get there as soon as I can. It's going to happen.
Well, if you'd come down, maybe we could get him to do some things we both know he needs to do.
Yeah, he needs to get out.
You can come down and stay at my place. I got plenty of room, and you're welcome to stay here. And
well,
visit.
Buddy, I appreciate that.
Well, come on down. There's no room there, but I got plenty of room, and I mean it now.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Well, I'm so glad y'all are keeping up the good work, and y'all continue to do that.
We will, sir. And we'll talk to you in a day or two.
It's been a privilege talking with you.
Thanks, Gordon.
Y'all have a good one.
Bye-bye. You too, Gordon.
Later, Gordon.
All right. Gordon Vick from Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Yeah. Oh,
never a problem with him having something to talk about, is he?
Oh, yeah. He's got plenty to talk about.
I love him. He knows a little bit about it. He's like Luke Stripling, my old engineer friend. He knows a little bit about everything.
Yep.
And you can learn by talking to
just
him.
Just think about it. He could do the Handyman Show by himself.
He could. He wouldn't need us.
He
could, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, thank you, Don, Pat, Tom,
yep.
Shaw.
Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That's
we'll do it again next week, hopefully.
Right.
It'll be 107 or whatever it is. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. You've been listening to a special edition of The Blind Handyman.